Morning. Well, I was trying to think of a joke to start out with this morning, but I figured just looking at me is funny enough, so I couldn't figure out any jokes. You know, being here, listening to a lot of the testimonies of the men before me, I realized that, you know what? I don't have much of a testimony, you know? I don't have this huge turnaround, you know, Raul Reese, where I was waiting at home to kill my wife and saw Chuck Smith on the TV and decided to give my life to the Lord or something like that. But I do have God's grace, and that's enough. Well, I'm John. I was born in Mariposa, California, a little podunk town below Yosemite. It was great. I think I was an accident because I don't even think my parents could figure out a name for me. I was born at John C. Fremont Hospital. And my name is John C. Christopher Shuford. So I think they were just really struggling with, like, oh, man, what are we going to do with this one? Exactly. So I was born there, raised. My mom was an Adventist, Seventh-day Adventist, and my dad was a non-practicing Catholic. So figure that one out, you know. My mom probably thought my dad was part of the Antichrist or something like that, but grew up there in Mariposa. They sent me to Seventh-day Adventist schools where I learned, you know, a little bit about the Lord. Never saw my dad a whole lot. He was a correctional officer, but since my mom was trying to send us all to private school, he was busy working a lot of overtime to pay for three kids to go to private school. So didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with him until my high school years, where he would take his vacations and we'd go fishing during summer and stuff like that. By the time I was 10, 11, my parents finally divorced. They called it quits and they divorced. My mom started seeing another guy, which ended up being my stepdad. Before the divorce was final, and even at 10 years old, I knew that wasn't okay. So what happened with that was that just kind of stirred in this hatred towards my stepdad, or what was going to be soon to be my stepdad, that, you know, he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be, you know, remotely seeing, coming and talking to my mom or anything like that. So I had a big hatred towards him. My mom was 30 years older than me when she had me. He was 16 years older than her. So there was a generation gap also that kind of added towards my hatred. He was a lot more old-fashioned than me as a young punk teenager could handle. And I kind of turned out that way into a young punk teenager. Before I got there, going to Christian school, gave my life to the Lord, actually. It was after my parents got divorced. Gave my life to the Lord and actually got baptized about seventh grade. So that was kind of a neat experience. So I knew I wanted to be close to God. Got baptized about seventh grade. And everything kind of went downhill from eighth grade on. As soon as I hit eighth grade, you know, hormones kicked in. Girls became very evident. The flesh became very evident of things that I wanted in the flesh, and kind of went just straight downhill from there. So eighth grade came, and I figured out at that time that I really had a heart for music. And then now that my parents were divorced and I was living with my mom, we didn't have a whole lot of money. So all we had was a hand-me-down clarinet. which kind of put a big damper on the whole music thing. You can't be a rock star with a clarinet, so. But it's all we had, so I grabbed the clarinet, and it became, you know, a big focus. Music was a huge focus. By the time I hit my freshman year, I was the first freshman in the history of the school that I went to hit first chair position in clarinet as a freshman. So I was really focused. Really realized that this music is really cool. Saved up my money, ended up getting a saxophone, learned to play saxophone a little bit like that, took some piano lessons, learned to play a little bit of piano. Still figured out, you know what, saxophone, clarinet, a little bit of piano, you can't still really be a rock star with those. So had a bunch of buddies that were forming a band, you know, and they were like, hey dude, you want to sing? I'm like, all right. So started singing in my first rock and roll band as a freshman. And we started playing some things. And then at that time, when you're a freshman and you do a couple shows and all the little freshman girls are screaming, yay, wow, you know, music then really became my God. It was my focus 100%. I ate, drank, slept. Everything was all about the band and rock and roll. Being a sophomore, I ended up having to have jaw surgery, have my jaw wired shut, so rock and roll kind of waits for no man. So they kicked me out of the band because I couldn't do the next few shows. They got a new singer. So when my mouth got unwired, I started looking for other people to play with or to sing with. Another opportunity came with some friends. They were like, hey, our bass player quit, so would like you to play bass. And I'm like, oh, all right, I can try that. So sold my saxophone, bought a bass guitar, and that was it for me. Loved the bass. Bass became everything. Started playing shows at 21 and older clubs at a sophomore. That is not a good place for a sophomore to be, let me tell you. It was a downhill spiral. So when you're a sophomore with a fake ID and you're going in and you're playing with adults that you shouldn't be hanging around, especially non-Christian adults, you get drawn up into all that. So I had already started smoking. Started smoking in about eighth grade. Completely started smoking, not just here and there. I would skip school and go out and smoke. And when we started playing the clubs, you know, you start getting into all of the things that were, you know, that are right there. So people are bringing us pitchers of beer as a sophomore. And that's another bad situation. And that was my life. You know, played through all of high school. Towards my end of my junior, senior year, we had gotten pretty decent and we were playing a lot. We were starting to go from, well, I ended up down in Modesto, which is where I was going to high school, but we would drive 2 hours away to play in a town called Fresno. And, because they had a better club scene, more nightclubs to play at, and we could get in a lot easier with our fake IDs because they didn't know us as much. So we played around there, and after a while, getting used to playing, started seeing, you know, we met different people. I met my wife, soon to be my wife, or much later, actually, to be my wife. We became friends, and we'd see each other at the shows. She also had a fake ID, so she was getting into the clubs. So we were buried in that whole rock and roll scene. I mean, if it was not a club, a nightclub that we were at a rock concert, right? If it was not a rock concert, we were at a party with all of our rock and roll friends. I wrote notes, but I don't think I'm sticking to them, but oh well. So it got to be pretty bad. After a couple years of living down in Fresno and playing and stuff like that, we were actually at a concert, and my wife was there again, and so went up and started talking with her, and this was the first time that we had ever really just sat down and started talking, other than, hey, can I buy you a drink? Or, hey, you know, where are you going after this show? Or something like that. We actually sat down and started talking. We had other friends that were there. And like I said, we were buried in the scene. We were into the clubs and the nightlife 100%. But as we were sitting there talking, God kept coming up in our conversation. And this is not supposed to be like this, but he kept coming up, and it was weird because, you know, all the times that I can remember, you know, being at a party or being hammered, you know, and talking with somebody else that's hammered and they're standing there all crooked spilling their beer, I can remember different times talking about God. Don't ask me why, you know. Drunk guys are standing there talking about God. That's kind of odd, but it always came up. So anyway, my wife, or my girlfriend now, Deborah, we started dating from that point forward. And from that point forward, even talking about God, it was a downhill spiral. We moved in together. We weren't married. We both started talking about, you know what, we would like to go to church, even though we were living together and heathens and everything like that. So we started. We started going to a non-denominational offshoot of the Adventist church, because that's all I knew. They had broke off from the Adventist church, but they still met on Saturday, but, you know, whole crazy, whatever. So we started going there. Every time we'd go there, my wife would fall apart. My girlfriend at the time would fall apart. She'd just break down and start crying. What's your problem? You know, I'm sitting here thinking, every time, it's just, it wouldn't be at work, or it wouldn't be at home, it wouldn't be anywhere, but we'd go to church and she'd just start crying. Something was wrong. Maybe I got, you know, hooked up with the wrong chick or something like that. I don't know. No, we finally figured it out on our 1 year anniversary of dating. We went to Pismo. Obviously, we were still living as heathens and not with the Lord. And we were both sitting down on the beach, smoking a cigarette, and talking. And my wife starts sharing with me that, you know what, this is not the life that I want to live. And I agreed, and we were like, well, what do we do? There's this hole, and we're not filling it with the parties. We're not filling it with the clubs. We're not filling it with music. There's still this emptiness. So anyway, we started talking and figured out that, you know what? We want to live our life 100% for the Lord. Right there on the beach, we decided that. So she broke up with me. I like to say it like that, you know, because then everybody goes, oh. So everybody goes, oh. There we go. All right, make me feel better. So she broke up with me. We broke up. We started going to separate churches at that time. After we went back to Fresno, she was seeking the Lord with whatever church she was going to, and wherever I was going to, I was seeking the Lord. We decided that, you know what, this is what we got to do. And we kept talking with each other on the phone here and there, because now, unlike before, we had something new in common. And so we'd call each other and we'd talk on the phone about what we learned at church or something like that. And about 2 months later, we were talking and we decided to go up to Auburn, Calvary Chapel, Auburn, because the pastor up there, Greg Denham, was baptizing in the in the river. So we're like, yeah, you know what? We went up there. We both got baptized together. 9 months later, we ended up getting married. So that was really cool. God brought both of us out of a scene that was just destroying us. He brought us out together and put us in a much, much better place. Wasn't a perfect place because we were still young and still had all of those fleshly tendencies when we were married, and so we went through some pretty rocky times during our marriage, but God was faithful. When we got married, we were still kind of new, just baby Christians, obviously, and we didn't know where we were going to go to church. But God had a perfect plan. We were replacing all of the rock and roll and the music and everything in our lives with the Bible and His Word, and but we still wanted, music was a huge part of our life, so we still wanted some kind of music that we could kind of relate to. So we went down to the Bible House, and the place was just about empty when we went down there, and there was one guy in the music aisle. He kept looking over at us and eyeballing us, and I'm like, kind of going, why is this dude just looking at us? You know, he's just eyeballing us. Finally, he comes over and he asks us, he says, hey, you guys looking for something? And we're like, yeah. You know, kind of stepping back a little bit. He says, well, here's the reason why I ask is I do a radio show Sunday nights that has, you know, heavier music, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, I had long hair down to, you know, my plumber's crack. And he was like, you guys look like you're into the rock and roll scene and maybe you just came out of that or something. I can tell you about Christian music, you know, what do you like to listen to? And I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. So we told him, we like to listen to this. And he goes, well, then try this band. We like to listen to this. We'll try this band. So we replaced a bunch of the music that we had previously thrown out. And we were reading inside one of the albums, the credits. And the credits said, hey, thank you to all my friends from The Crucified and to Calvary Chapel of Fresno. I'm like, dude, this is a rock and roll guy. This is a long hair, right? And he's saying thank you to Calvary Chapel of Fresno. Well, we got to go to that church. There's going to be other hippies that are there. You know, we're going to find other guys that have piercings. We're going to find... You know, and so my wife's all, yeah, that'll be kind of cool. So we ended up going there, and it was a Sunday morning, and we got in. We're sitting there, and the place was in a almost like a warehouse downtown, not a nice area. And the chairs were old, trashed out theater chairs. They would flip down, and we walk in, I'm going, yeah, this is not what I was expecting. So anyway, we sat down, and I'm kind of going, wow, when is this going to be over? They started doing worship. The place was packed out, like I said, except for one chair right in front of us. So the person that sat down was the drummer for the this is a men's breakfast, right? Was the drummer for the worship team. We didn't know it at the time, but he sat down, had his ball cap on backwards, had his ponytail coming out the back of his, and I'm like, finally, a dude with long hair. Right? So it was the one time that this guy was faithful to the worship team, but it was the one time that he was late. And he came in, sat down in front of us, and after church, we got to talk with him. Looking back, we see that God's hand was on everything. had he not been late and unable to work or unable to play at the church, we probably would have left and looked for something different. But God's grace and His timing just lined everything up. I had put my bass guitar and all my music stuff away because that was a life that I didn't want to lead. I didn't want to have any part of. So we went to Calvary Fresno for a couple years, and then the pastor started coming to me and counseling me. And saying that I could use my talents in a different way. So I ended up starting to play bass for the worship team. And it was an awesome thing having a gift that God gave me that I abused. And I took advantage of the He restored. And now I can use it to glorify Him. A gift that I used for myself to get what I wanted. To get into clubs, or to get girls, or to get recognition. Everything that I was using to focus on me, God flipped that around, and now everything that I have, now I can realize that I can give back to Him. So that's what I do, and that's where I'm at now. It was a neat thing. It was an awesome thing to learn what worship really is, and it's something that has never stopped growing. It's something that I don't think I will ever stop learning about. Learning how to do more, learning how to apply it to every different part of my life on how I worship the Lord. It's not now just music. It's not just a song. It's not just a guitar or a bass, but it's a lifestyle. So, I'm going to leave you with one scripture. A while back, when we were going through a growing process, we all go through growing processes with our relationship with the Lord. This kind of became our family's scripture. And if you ever come into our house, it'll always be up there on a picture. It's out of Deuteronomy 6. It starts at verse 5. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So I just want to leave you men with a challenge. When you read that verse, that is our everyday act of worship. To teach our children the words of the Lord. To talk to everybody. To have God's Word in front of our eyes. And as men, we can use blinders a lot. That would help out. But when God's Word is your focus, everything else comes into perspective. So that would be my challenge, to live your life as an act of worship to the Lord. And worship isn't just a song. It's a lifestyle. So...